Greetings again, pilgrims, walking with Jesus. It's Pastor Bob, and it's June 22nd. It's another bright and warm day in East Central Illinois. But what's it like in the Holy Land today? What's it like walking with Jesus? This is episode 18 of John in June. And we're ready to begin today. Let's get our stuff together, stick it in your little bag, knock off those sandals and put them on, and here's your last sip of tea today. That's the kava tea. Very unique tea, I think. Made by Yogi. If you ever see it, it's in the purple box. The candle is lit. We're ready to pick up where we left off yesterday. Remember, the last things that happened yesterday was Mary anointing Jesus with her ointment, with her hair, no doubt, creating a spectacle and a controversy. And then we heard about the plot to kill Lazarus, because Lazarus was becoming the proof that Jesus is who he says he is. So today we'll move into Jerusalem. It's a very exciting day. And Jesus is going to teach us some very important things as we get closer and closer to that fateful day. All right, everybody's together. Take a deep breath. Let's see what today brings in the life of Jesus. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. As it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. So the crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify. It was also because they heard that he had performed this sign that the crowd went to meet him. The Pharisees then said to one another, "You see, you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." Now, among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now, my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Messiah remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Jesus said to them, "The light is with you for a little longer. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness may not overtake you. If you walk in the darkness, you do not know where you are going. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become children of light." After Jesus had said this, he departed and hid from them. Although he had performed so many signs in their presence, they did not believe in him. This was to fulfill the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah, "Lord, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" And so they could not believe, because Isaiah also said, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, so that they might not look with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them." Isaiah said this because he saw his glory and spoke about him. Nevertheless, many, even of the authorities, believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue, for they loved human glory more than the glory that comes from God. Then Jesus cried aloud, "Whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me should not remain in the darkness. I do not judge anyone who hears my words and does not keep them. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my word has a judge. On the last day, the word that I have spoken will serve as judge. For I have not spoken on my own, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment about what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I speak, therefore, I speak just as the Father has told me." Amen. Another day with Jesus as we come into Jerusalem. And we hear about the dynamics going on around him, the believers and the unbelievers, those who feel threatened, those who are plotting to kill him, those who are torn in between, wanting to believe him but not wanting to get thrown out of the synagogue or be mocked by their friends and neighbors. Isn't that an universal, eternal situation we find ourselves in? Well, that's a full day, and it makes us kind of anxious about what's to come. But as we settle down for the evening and prepare again for tomorrow, Jesus comes and gives us some words to carry with us in our hearts. Here's what he says. "Thank me for the very things that are troubling you. You are on the brink of rebellion, precariously close to shaking your fist in my face. You are tempted to indulge in just a little complaining about my treatment of you. But once you step over that line, torrents of rage and self-pity can sweep you away. The best protection against this indulgence is thanksgiving. It is impossible to thank me and curse me at the same time. Thanking me for trials will feel awkward and contrived at first, but if you persist, your thankful words, prayed in faith, will eventually make a difference in your heart. Thankfulness awakens you to my presence, which overshadows all your problems. Oh, good words to live by, according to the way of Jesus. And thus concludes episode 18, another day in June, in John, with Jesus. And until tomorrow, take some time, reread this section of Scripture, listen to it again, ponder the words that Jesus has laid on your heart, and be refreshed by the fountain of water that swells up within you by the power of the Holy Spirit.